Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 8. He that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent shall bite him. I want to speak for a few moments today on the subject, the hedge. When we talk about a hedge, to most of us, it's a dreaded word because that means the trimmers have to come out. And I don't care how much you trim those hedges, they just keep growing. But that's not the hedge that the Bible's referring to when we read the word hedge. Hedges in the Bible were generally made out of stone. They were about loose stone, about 3.5 feet in height. They didn't have any strong mortar to hold them together. Sometimes they had no mortar at all. And they were used as an enclosure. An enclosure for vineyards, an enclosure for sheepfolds, to enclose gardens. And if they had no stone nearby, they would sometimes use thorn bushes and make the hedge out of thorn bushes, or even on the top of the stone, they would try to incorporate thorns. And of course, the idea of that was to keep animals from going over the hedge that was there to get inside and to keep predators out as well. So it would keep people from climbing over to get into the vineyard or to get into the sheepfold to try to do damage or harm to whatever the property owner owned. Now, when we read about the hedge, probably our thoughts go first to Job, because Job is probably the best known for the hedge as far as God had hedged him in. And we'll deal with that in just a moment. But I think you also ought to note that around the hedge, according to this verse that I read to you, that's where the snake's at. The snake stays close to the hedge. Because if you break the hedge, then the snake will bite you. So that means that the snake has to be close by when the hedge is broken down. The snakes had a tendency to hang around those areas because they could stay there and not be seen, and it was a natural camouflage for them. So really what we have a picture of is the devil standing outside of what God has put around us to protect us. And he would love to bite every one of us. But yet we know there's some promises from the Word of God. God used hedges to protect people throughout the Word of God. Hedges are symbolic of the protection of God physically. I mentioned Job. You remember when Satan came before God and they had their conversation in the first chapter of Job. The Lord asked, the serpent asked Satan, said, "Where, from whence comest thou?" And he said, "From walking to and fro in the earth." He said, "Have you considered my servant Job? He's righteous. He's a perfect and upright man." And Job said, as he was there, of course, you could imagine how he must have felt to know that God had called him perfect and upright. It's one thing for us to think we're upright, and for God to commend us for being upright is another thing that's entirely different. But he said, "I can't get to him. You've not only put a hedge around him, you put a hedge around his family." And if you read it closely, the hedge was around him, his family, and his finances, his property, possessions, the things that he had. He said, "You have hedged him, not on one side, but you've hedged him all around, that I can't get to him." Now, he would love to have gotten to him, but he couldn't get to him unless God allowed him to get to him. There's, of course, that occurrence and the account that is given in the book of Job, where we know that one by one, God allowed the hedge to come down. Now, that wasn't us breaking the hedge down. That's God allowing the hedge to come down. And I want to tell you with all assurance, if God ever gives permission to the enemy to come against us, it will always be for his purpose and his glory. He'll still take care of us. That's the key to it. He'll take care of us. It's just that suddenly what we took for granted, it's like having a door that's locked, and the locks keep the predators out, and then suddenly the lock's being removed. And it doesn't mean that you don't have protection. Just because the locks are gone, you still got a Smith & Wesson. I get in trouble every time I say, do you know there's people that actually spread in this county that you can't come to church here? I ask every one of you, if you're going to be a member here, you've got to own a gun. I don't care if you own a gun or not, but I do. What I'm saying is that just because one hedge comes down doesn't mean that there's not still protection. So God hedged him in physically. Physically, the Lord put a hedge around about him as a person, his family, and his possessions, his finances. Now, it's good in that account to remember two or three things. I don't know why this just came to me. It's a reminder to me the devil can't be everywhere at one time. I know that he went through each hedge, but really there was a hedge around each one. And he couldn't go through all of them at the same time. It was one at a time. Even though it happened one right after another, he had to go through one at a time. First, his possessions. Then, his family. Then, his health. But it didn't all happen at once. When you read it, you think it all happened at the same time. It happened one right after another. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, those things are to protect us because God knows how much that we can handle. And He won't let it all come at one time. Another thing it reminds me of is that the devil, he can't be everywhere at one time. He had to take care of him. Boy, I'm glad he's not everywhere at one time. But also, it tells me that the devil, Satan, can't see the future. How does the story and account of Job tell me the devil can't see the future? Because in the end, Job got double for his trouble. And if the devil knew all he was going to do was prosper Job for what had happened, he never did what he did. All it resulted in was Job being better off in the end than he was in the beginning. And the Lord took care of him through all of it. I used to read that account and I read the possessions out at the end. Everybody reads the first chapter, the last chapter, the first chapter, Job loses it all, the last chapter, Job gets it all back. And I used to read that. You can go through and read how that he got double of all of his possessions and how that his health was restored. But in the end, I used to read that and think, but Lord, what about his family? His children were still dead. And then one day it dawned on me, the blessed Holy Ghost reminded me, when Job had other children, it doesn't say they were doubled on this earth, but he had children in heaven and children in earth. And when they get to heaven, they'll all be together again. God gave him double for all the troubles that he went through. Also, it's a reminder to me that Satan cannot read your mind. Everything the devil brought against Job was visible. It could be seen. He can't read your thoughts. That's why you got to be careful what you say. You're arming him to come against you. And then the other thing is that Satan needs God's permission to come against you. Only two ways a hedge can come down. Either God allows it or you tear it down. And I want to warn you today, if we ever tear down a hedge, the serpent's there waiting to bite us. Nobody can take away from you, including the devil, cannot take one thing away from you that God has given to you. I know Candy mentioned it this morning. 2 weeks ago, we received great news. At 2 weeks to the day, we get a letter that says, now we have $15,000 in unexpected bills that's not covered. And at first we were shocked and we were amazed. God, why did you do all of that? But then finally, I got my second wind and I thought, wait a minute, devil, you don't own my possessions. You can't have my possessions. Everything that I've got belongs to me. He can't have my salvation. He can't have my family. He can't have my church. He can't have my loved ones. Everything we have, God has given to us. And the Lord puts a hedge around about us. And the devil can't do anything unless God allows it or unless I destroy it. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not going to destroy it. I want by faith to confess everything that God has given to me in this book. He has put a hedge around about us physically. When you're sick a long time or have a loved one that's sick a long time, the first thing the devil will tell you, God doesn't care. Where's God at? He wants to destroy you physically to get you down. But God's hedged us in. He's protecting us physically, also spiritually. God had a hand. He mentioned it. You remember Jesus used the parable of the man with the great supper. And when he bid them to come, they didn't come. Just a few had come. And he said, I want you to go out in the highways and byways, out in the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in. Spiritually, he's giving a warning. Get them out of the world and get them inside of my hedge. See, when you're in the world, you're on your own. When you're lost, you're living on your dime and your time. But when God has you in the family, God takes care of you. And there's a compelling force to us as a church to go out and to ask people, persuade people to be a part of the family of God, to come and dine. Go get them. Go get them. I don't know why we don't hear this preaching. Wasn't it funny? I mean, you do whatever you want to. Go to YouTube, pull up your favorite preachers, pull anything you want. Nobody ever talks about soul winning anymore. Tell you why they don't talk about soul winning. They don't want to win them. That takes a lot of work. They want to steal them. See, they want us to go reach them and win them. Then as soon as you win them, they'll come along and make them think that they're in a spiritually immature church. And he wants you to tear the hedge down. That's what he wants. But our job is to go reach them. A man had lived his life. He had gained a lot of wealth and he had prospered in a great way. And he come to the end of his life and he was overcome with a terminal disease. He had a friend that came to visit him one day. And when his friend came to visit this man, he had all of this money, but he couldn't buy his health and he couldn't buy another day on earth. And when his friend was visiting with him, he said, he just kept looking at his hands. Just kept looking at his hands. And he said, look at these hands. Look at these hands. He was obsessed with his hands in his last few hours of life on earth. And his friend said, Jim, what's wrong with your hands? He said, look at them. They're so empty. I wonder, will you meet the Lord empty-handed? I don't know about you, but I hope that I can present some people to the Lord. That I can say, I told this one about you, Jesus. And I told that one about you. He that winneth souls is wise. We can't be content that we are inside the hedge. There's others that need to be brought from the world and they need to be brought into the family of God. So we have to go reach them and tell them that Jesus loves them. Have you bothered to tell anyone about Jesus this week? Have you invited anyone to church? Have you invited anyone to Christ? Have you told anyone about the old preacher? We don't have to do that. We've got Jamie. Thank God for Jamie. But that doesn't release you from your testimony and me from my testimony. We've all got a duty to go and win them and tell them and reach them before it's too late. He hedges us in physically and spiritually and emotionally. Hedges were put around the Old Testament. You'll find out they were put around vineyards. Inside the vineyards are grapes. And grapes are a picture of joy in the Bible. What the devil would love to do is get the hedge tore down until he gets your joy. Some of you, he's succeeded. Boy, I'd hate to live a miserable life. Never have a good day. Never have a smile on my face. I'd hate to live a life that has no joy in it. Rejoice in the Lord. He's given you peace and given you assurance that your sins are forgiven. We ought to have joy abundantly. And it'll flow from us and people can see the joy of the Lord in our life. Well, what does God use to hedge us in? Let me give you two or three things and I'm finished. First of all, the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ gives us a hedge. We know that when they were getting ready to leave Egypt, the Lord told them to take the lamb and to take the blood of the lamb and to put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, but also on the head. But also, if you read it closely, it went down into the basin. And really, those basins were there to catch the water. It's like a ditch that was dug across to catch the water. So the blood of the lamb not only went on both sides of the door and at the top, but also down all the way where you step across the feet, a picture of the cross, the head, the hands, the feet of Jesus. And the promise of the Lord was this. When I pass through the land, don't ever let anyone tell you a death angel passed through the land. It wasn't a death angel. The Bible tells us it was the Lord that passed through the land. The Lord passed through the land. Why? Because judgment doesn't belong to an angel. Judgment belongs to the Lord. And He's coming through in judgment. That's what it's a picture of. And the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Do you know what that blood was? It was a hedge around everyone inside that house that the enemy of death could not come because the blood was there. Oh, if we do anything this morning, we ought to take a minute or two and say, thank you, Jesus, that you gave your blood that I could have life and protection. How did they overcome? They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I testify to the fact that the blood of Jesus is sufficient this morning to overcome every tool that the devil has. It's the blood. You know how important the blood is in your body. If bacteria, a germ enters your body that's foreign and shouldn't be there, automatically, your blood kicks into action and sends white blood cells there to surround the enemy. To stop the enemy from killing you. And the blood forces that enemy out of your body. I'm here to tell you the blood of Jesus surrounds the enemy and gets rid of the enemy. It is the blood. It will be forevermore the blood. Without the blood, we're all hopeless. But thank God for the hedge of the blood. The hedge of the Bible. This Bible gives us a hedge. How do you get a hedge around you from the Bible? First of all, by reading it. You say, I don't understand it. It understands you. That's all that matters. You would be amazed how many things you'll read from this book. And when you read it, you don't understand it. But years later, it comes out of nowhere like seed that's planted inside your heart. And it comes up at just the right time. Just the perfect verse. But if you don't read it and you don't know it, it won't be there when you need it. You've got a hedge. You say, well, I'm not able to read. And I'm saying that respectfully, not everybody. In fact, there's people that go through school and don't know how to read. And I'm not making fun of anyone. If you can't read and you're embarrassed by it, God bless your heart. I couldn't imagine trying to function in this world not being able to read. And you have my greatest prayers because you've got a difficult time in front of you. I can't name the name, but we had an individual that came to church here for years before they were saved. And you know why they never got saved? They didn't know how to read. And somewhere along the way, they got in their mind that they had to read the Bible before they could ever be saved. And when they come to be saved, they were having a struggle. And they'd talk to me privately about that. And they said, but I can't read. And they leaned over and whispered in my ear. And they said, I got all the way up to this altar and I'm going to leave unsatisfied because I still can't read. And I said, can you hear? And they said, of course I can hear. I said, I'll give you the Bible tomorrow on CD. And you can listen to it. Do you know it's as much the Word of God when you listen to it as when you read it? Only difference is you retain more by reading it, and you ought to read it if you can read it. But by the way, a person that don't read the Word of God is no worse off than a person that can't read the Word of God because neither one knows the Word of God. I better move on. Back to basics. By reading it. And I'll tell you something else about the Bible. By preaching it. Why do I preach the Bible to you? To keep the serpent on the outside. To keep the hedge built up. See, the only way that you can overcome it, if I stand here and preach the Bible to you and you choose to tear the hedge down and go out on your own, I promise you, you will get bitten. But we need preaching. I never saw an age where the church doesn't want preachers anymore. Preaching's almost gone. People don't want preaching any longer. They want something to make them feel good about themselves as long as it's not a sermon. And it doesn't mention sin and it doesn't mention Satan. But I've got news for you. That's why Jesus came, to save our soul from sin. And we've got an enemy of our soul, and he is the devil. And that's why we need to know what thus saith the Word of God. So when the enemy comes, we can stand in the face of the enemy and say, wait a minute, I heard it preached that God would take care of his own. I heard it preached that let the Lord arise and all of his enemies be scattered. I heard it preached that if I do right, God will bless me. Thank God for preaching. My job from God. Let's clear this up too. I'm called to preach. I didn't learn how to preach on the internet. I didn't take a little course that man made up. I settled it in my soul years ago. And I'm telling you, it was bad as old time conviction when God called me to preach. Because I didn't want to preach. I'd do anything but preach. And my mind made up I wanted to do something else. The only problem of it is God's boss. Amen. I better move on. That's not going over too good. But it gives us the hedge of the Bible. Finally, he gives us the hedge of believers. He surrounds us with believers. I'm looking at that camera right up there. Y'all see that camera right up there? All of you that could have been in church today and didn't come, and you think watching it on your iPad is the same as being here, you're wrong. You're wrong. I thank God for modern media. I'm glad that we can get the message out. But I'm also glad there's power in the Word of God. And there's nothing like being in the fellowship of believers. A time will come where I'll be sick and not able to be here. And that's hard. You don't think it's hard? Loretta's here today. You ask her. Service after service. Her and Roger sat right back there. One service after another. Now Roger can't be here. You tell me. You don't miss it when you can't be here. There's a difference, my friend. God puts us together as believers in a family to help one another. And to make sure the hedge is round about us. We say to the devil, when you take one of us on, you take all of us on. We are God's family, laboring together, loving together, serving together. We're in this thing for the glory of God together. Not only through believers that are family, physical family, but through the fellowship of believers. I want to speak. I'm in overtime. I'm just about a minute from being done. Okay, two. Young people, I know you're going back to school, but if you've got godly parents that love the Lord, you ought to get on your knees and thank God for parents that love Jesus. They love you enough to make you get up on Sunday morning, come to church. And some of you, they didn't have to make you. God bless you. I'm sad to say we've got some parents that's not leading the kids in this church. We've got a lot of young men and young women that's leading the parents. The parents have never come to church. It wasn't for the kids. And I admire you young people for having a desire to be here. And God help a mom and dad that tears the hedge down to let the devil bite their kids. But if you've got parents and They do things that you don't understand. And they don't let you do what others do. Or you don't get your way all the time. You still ought to thank God for godly parents. See, they're on the other end of it. They've seen some things. They know some things. All they're trying to do is save you grief. You say, well, they did worse. That's why they're trying to save you grief. They don't want you to fall in the pit they went into. They know the sting of the serpent. They're trying to keep you out of trouble. And you ought to thank God for godly parents that would do that. God put up a hedge. Now, some of you are outside the wall of safety today. And I close, as they're getting ready to come with a song, I close with this. A woman in Paris one day was dressed in some of the finest clothes. She had on an elegant dress. She had on long white gloves. She was getting ready to cross the street and she thought, I'm going to take my gloves off. And she pulled off one of her gloves. And when she did, she heard something hit and she realized the diamond ring that she loved so much. She had pulled it off when she pulled the glove off and it fell down and went into the storm drain, into the gutter. She looked at that diamond for a little while. She pulled the other glove off. Expensive dress or not, she got down on her knees and she started to reach down in the filth and the slime. And for nearly an hour, she dug around, getting that all over her. It didn't matter what she had on. She kept reaching, trying to find that, and finally found it. People would pass by and say, what are you doing? They thought she'd lost her mind. Being so polite, she'd speak to them and just keep searching. Why would she do such a thing? One reason. Something she loved had fallen into the field. And she wasn't going to stop until she found it. The world will never understand why Jesus did what he did. Dressed in heaven's finest, he traded it off for swaddling clothes. Got down on his knees of this dirty world and started digging around in the field to pull us up, pull us out, clean us up, and hedge us in. If you want to go on your own, nobody can stop you. But you're on your own. If you break through the hedge, the serpent will bite you. I think I'd rather stay safe in his arms and let him fight the serpent for me as to try to do it myself.